Hey, welcome to the Halftime Mike Podcast. I am Mike Gingrich. I'm a business creative and a basketball fan. I'm weaving here together in this podcast to give you practical, no-nonsense resources on social media, business marketing, leadership, and life. Why do I do that? Because the adjustments you can make at halftime can help your business win the game in the second half. You ready to go? Let's dive into this week's episode. Hey, this is Mike Gingrich. How you doing today, everybody? It's good to be with you. And today we want to talk about moving business processes online. This COVID-19 coronavirus situation has forced the closure of a ton of businesses, physical locations, and many have had to move any type of operations that they do to be remote from home, that type of thing. And it's exposed a number of business process problems. Okay. So in any typical business, I mean, you have a number of things that you have to deal with. And, you know, those are from, you know, back office, like accounting and your file management, even your email, to then, you know, your online pieces, but even your sales processes, then your customer relationship management, your support pieces, all those processes along the way. And some businesses have learned that they've got gaps in those. Like, what are we going to do? How do we do that? Because so-and-so has access to that on their computer, or I don't have access to this file, this location. And so we want to talk about moving your business processes online and really making that shift so that in the new normal and the days going forward, you never have that kind of scenario again where there's a disruption, a gap, because you're fluid, you have access to the information and the pieces of information that you need. So I want to dive into a lot of those pieces and take a look at a number of key areas. When you break them down, if you're going to have your business be able to be accessible and be able to be ongoing and not have significant gaps and disruptions in the ways you can deliver services or communicate. Number one, just start with the basics. You got to make sure your email for your business, for your team, is available anytime, anywhere. So just got off of a podcast call, and it was talking with someone, and you know learned that they did have a disruption in email because their email was tied to their physical server and location in the office. And so now they're kind of running two email systems, and one's building up there that they don't have access to while they're using another one online. That's a challenge. That's going to be difficult. It's going to be inefficient, really. And so you want to make sure that your email for your team, so maybe your team was using some type of in-house server, you want to take a look at cloud-based solutions. So that's like Outlook 365, that's the Google suite of email. And a lot of domain providers even provide a webmail. That's kind of a third option. But you want to have access, you want to give your team access to email anywhere. So it's basically cloud-based, so they can just log into that. They can use apps, clients on their system, but it's still cloud-based, and so it syncs, and so the core of the email is there. So that's number one. Make sure the email is accessible. That's a go-to in the digital world today if you're going to keep up with the communication. You know, I got some emails early on from people. I got about like a bounce back or a forwarder, and it said, you know, business is closed, and we will not be able to reply to this email. We hope to open by X and such a date. And it's like, no, that's not helpful. You can still email. You should be able to. So make sure your email is accessible anytime, anywhere, using a cloud-based system. Again, Outlook 365, Google Mail as the two key ones there. And webmail is a third option. Now, taking a look at your other back office, then, you know, what do you need to do? You need to manage your accounting. So your accounting software or your ERP system, what are you going to do with that? And enterprise relationship management program is the key there. And so a traditional accounting software has been software that was on a server or on a machine, you know. So QuickBooks desktop version was, you know, software. You got some CDs, you downloaded that or that type of piece, And some businesses have now found that that's a challenge. And so then they go into all kinds of hoops and things because they're trying to get, you know, remote access to the computer that's at the office so that people can log in remotely and view that computer screen. You know, you don't need to go that complex. You need to be thinking about taking your accounting practices, your ERP system to a cloud-based system as well. So many people are familiar with QuickBooks. Everybody's heard of QuickBooks for accounting. So QuickBooks has that desktop version, as I mentioned, but they have QuickBooks Online, which is a totally online solution. And the thing about that is it's, you know, it's beautiful. You can give people different access to the books according to their role. So, you know, company owner could have an access, login. The bookkeeper would have a different login, you know, and they can see information that way that they need to see in that, and they can do it each from their location because it's the details are securely in the cloud that way. So QuickBooks Online, a competitor to QuickBooks Online that you might want to consider is Wave. So Wave is a new startup. It's actually free to use. They make their money through credit card transaction fees. So if someone pays their $400 invoice and wants to pay it by credit card, you know, the invoice can go out, and then, you know, Wave pays, has the, you know, whatever it is, 1.5% credit card fee on that. That's how they make it, so they keep it free. So Wave is a online accounting system that's a competitor to QuickBooks, and so a lot of these tools, again, they make it easy to convert from the desktop QuickBooks version to the online version to Wave, and take a look at that. You know, if you're more advanced, you're a bigger business, and, you know, ERP systems, and there's things like NetSuite, you know, which is a larger system that encompasses a number of tools, with your accounting is part of that, but also it's basically a CRM with e-commerce, task management, all bundled together. And that's what an ERP system is. It tries to bundle a bunch of tools that you need for office procedures together. So make sure you want to take a look at that. How are you going to get people access to that online? A third area that you need to take a look at for good communication amongst your team is file sharing, file management. So, you know, again, if you only had a in-house server at your location and people didn't have access to files outside of that, but, you know, they shared them fine when they were within the office, but when they're outside the office, they had to email them. That's not going to work long term, right, for remote work. And so there has been companies that have had trouble losing business efficiencies because they don't have access to files. Well, you need to get rid of that and make it easy by using, again, a cloud-based file sharing system that's secure. So two of those that you're most common familiar with would be Dropbox, right? So Dropbox is easy to implement, really, in a Mac or a PC. And, you know, you kind of set that as your top level file structure, put everything, you know, your file structure, drag that underneath the Dropbox level, and then it'll sync all those pieces so that what you're seeing on your computer is what's in the cloud, so that if, you know, and you can access that anywhere, you can just log in anywhere with your username and password and access the files that are necessary. And so, you know, teams can do this. You can have a business Dropbox account, multiple users in that, and give sharing access to people from their Dropbox account. So they each have their own login, but once they log in, then they have access to, you know, whatever files permissions they've been given. And so that is a huge, an alternative to that is Google Drive. There's a lot of file sharing tools out there. Google Drive is by Google, and of course, and then you can, so you don't have to use Google Docs if you don't want to. You can put a Microsoft Word doc in there. You can put images in there. You can put PowerPoint presentations in there. So it is file storage sharing. And they actually give you 1 gig free, and so that's a load of storage space just to begin with, but it gives you access because, again, you don't want to be emailing documents around all over the place, you know, again and again, and trying to track those via email. You want to have a file structure, just, you know, what you're comfortable with on your computer, and have that accessible online. So no matter where you're at, you have access to your files. So file sharing, file management is the key. Another area in that you want to take the business process online to be able to keep the team going, then is a collaboration tool. This is for project management, right? You've sold some things, and now the work needs to get done. So different people have different roles within that, and so using a project management system that is online, again, gives you that ability to assign tasks, keep notes in there, alert people of things, have deadlines, keep track of files in a central location for that project, all those kinds of pieces in a project management system. So a couple recommendations for you there. One that our team uses is Asana, so definitely recommend Asana, A-S-A-N-A, and I'll have a link in my blog post about this, but Asana is a great tool to keep track of that. So you can have, you know, your different, you can set it however you want. So the project can be by customer, then you can break that down into different tasks, and you can assign tasks to different people. You can switch whose responsibility is, when the due dates are. You can make them recurring, all kinds of pieces there with Asana. Another competitor to Asana with a paid version is Basecamp. There's loads of project management software out there if you Google that, but those are two recommendations, programs that I have used in the past. Now, so we've kind of covered the back office a little bit more, and so now we have another tool, and that is, what are we going to do to manage prospects and you know, the sales process and customers? So a CRM system, customer relationship management, is key. And again, making that cloud-based is so that you can access, so that when a lead comes in, you know, on the web or on a phone call, that you can enter into this system. This is the name of the person, this is the name of the company, you can put some notes in there. Everyone has, who should have access to that, does have access to that, keeps a centralized base. Maybe you want to email them from that, you want to put other notes in there, you want to create a proposal for them, and you want to tie to them. All those types of pieces are what you want to do with a CRM system. You want to have that available online as well. So a few recommendations there. HubSpot is a key one. They do have a free CRM system that you can use. And another one that's been around many years that a lot of businesses use is Infusionsoft. Infusionsoft, a newcomer to the CRM market, is MailChimp. Okay? MailChimp's most familiar, or most commonly known as being, you know, for email marketing, and they've just continued to expand their tools so that now they have a MailChimp CRM system along that, you know. And then again, if you're in a specially niche area, right, for industry that you're in, financial advisors, okay, so the one that we've been involved with is Vision Financial Marketing there. That software is for financial advisors, so it's a CRM system, but specifically set up for the needs of financial advisors. So there are industry-specific CRM systems out there. But again, coming back to some keys that you've heard, HubSpot, Infusionsoft, MailChimp, kind of more for the small business. So if you're a big business, maybe it's a Salesforce, those types of systems. What is one thing that you've probably done a lot of in the last 6 to 8 weeks that you did not do as much of in the months prior to that? And that is video conferencing, right? And what is the main tool that you've heard? And that's Zoom. And a lot of people are using Zoom. Zoom's been a great tool. It's had some, you know, little issues and things with security, that the Zoom bombing, where people would try to, you know, come in and hop into a meeting because it was open. It wasn't, you didn't have to have a password, or didn't have to allow the host to let you in. And so, and they've corrected those types of pieces. So you need to have that type of tool for your business, though, so your business is ready to go and doesn't miss a beat, because you can use Zoom for, you know, internal team meetings, but obviously then meetings with customers. So it can be, you know, such as their sales presentation. Maybe you can't go to their physical location, sit down with them at the table, but you can meet with them in a video conference with the room, so that you can see each other, you can talk, you can record that, you can share files, you can do chat as well, but you're talking. So it's the next best thing to being able to physically shake a hand. You know, are we going to shake hands anymore? Are we elbow bumps, or are we just, you know, doing some symbols to say we're greeting each other? I don't know, but I know that we can do video conferencing, and video conferencing will allow businesses to keep going. There's Zoom, but other alternatives that I've come across. 8x8, that's the number 8x8, is a free version that's unlimited. So where Zoom has free up to 40 minutes, and then you have to have a paid version for longer than 40 minutes, 8x8 has a free unlimited version. And a new one that's just breaking out right now is Facebook Messenger Rooms. So it works within Facebook's messaging platform, and you can be able to do up to 50 people, all the features that you want, like Zoom. You don't even have to have a Facebook account to be able to use it, is rolling out. So Facebook is creating a Zoom competitor that is releasing right now, end of April into early May as we speak. And that's going to be available to people free. And finally, another free version is Jitsi, JITSI. And that's a open source video conferencing program. Again, free, unlimited. You can use passwords. You can record all those types of pieces there that you would need. So video conferencing is important. There are resources out there. You don't just have to use Zoom. But it is a good tool as well, but you need to have that communication tool in your team's toolbox to do business in this kind of online environment. Now, keeping going there, another step up from video conferencing then is webinars. You're typically going to use this more in a sales presentation or, some type of meeting where a video conference is, back and forth. You're both in the same room and talking, where a webinar is you have people register in advance and then it's, one to many, a presentation. This is like someone presenting at a seminar, a speaker. And so doing this online is a webinar and webinar tool. So another feature of the paid version of Zoom is their webinar feature, okay? So where people can register, they can get email reminders about it, they have a special link that they click in, you can give them information about what that seminar is going to be about. So if you need to do a sales process that is not, your presentation to a specific company, but you need to do more of a broad one where we're presenting, we want 50, 100 people to know about it and attend, then you want to use a webinar. And that can be a part of your online sales process now, presentation that you would do. And I mentioned Zoom. GoToWebinar is another solution for that, and WebEx is another solution for that. Again, there's multiple pieces out there. That's a few that can help you along the way. Let's keep going. Business processes online. What have you learned? And maybe that is that you need to be able to sell products online. So you need to take your website from where it's at to enabling e-commerce within that so that you can actually sell things. Now, some people, that's easy, physical shippable product or downloadable product or that type of thing. Others, you think that's not easy, or a product is too big, or whatever. But don't just dismiss the thought of e-commerce or online related sales processes that you can do adding to your website. So one example that's come to light is businesses that have had to pivot. Maybe they were doing manufacturing one product, and through COVID now they've had to manufacture something else. We have a business that's going online that began to produce the face shields and an industrial type mask, and so they wanted to be able to sell those online. So they would build the e-commerce portion out for them on their website to be able to do that. With any type of, you have a WordPress website, which is the type we recommend with a great infrastructure and lots of flexibility, you can add a shopping cart to that. The typical one is called WooCommerce. That's like e-commerce with the Woo, W-O-O. That's the name of the cart system you can implement there. Physical products, shippable, downloadable products, all available to be set up. So how can you make sure, the lifeblood of your business is your sales. So how can you make sure that sales don't stop, if you have to be at home? And so e-commerce is a key piece of that. Now let's go into the another one that might be an option that if you need a second option beyond WooCommerce is Shopify. That's a hosted shopping cart solution that's gained traction these days. And if you have large products, again, like a boat, so maybe you need not a full e-commerce where they're going to pay by a credit card because they're not going to drop, $20,000 on a credit card for their boat online, but you need a product customizer so that they can go in, choose a boat, customize that boat. I want this engine. I want this color package. I want these features inside it, and then they can do all that and see it in front of them Okay, wow. Do I want red or do I want blue? Do I want that pinstripe? Do I want this? Do we want the lounge chairs in the front or the back? Whatever. Customize your boat, and then you can save that and send it to your boat dealership near you, and you're going to have a price on that. But of course, you're going to work with them to ultimately purchase that. So that's a software that we build and that we recommend. So again, you can use that in boats, RVs, kitchens, houses, trailers. We were also looking at it for a housing development that had similar houses. All of those kinds of pieces where you want to give people. It's just built based on imagery, right? So it's all about a load of images and information supporting those images. What color do you want the exterior? What color, do you want this piece of trim? And you're swapping out images so that they're seeing and visualizing what their exterior of the house is going to look like, their kitchen's going to look like, their boat's going to look like. And then the process is to send that to the nearest sales rep for them. And another piece related to e-commerce, particularly for those in the B2B realm where it might not be as conducive to sell a shippable product, is web private portals. Okay, this is a way of moving your business processes online. If you had to do a lot where there was collaboration with your team, and now you need to find a way to do that, to give resources to, a manufacturer needs to give resources to dealers, to distributors, or you need to have partner vendor portals, customer portals, so that somebody that has bought before can come in and reorder. All these are website private portals that can be an option for you to keep business going by building out that private back end that people have their own password and login information. They go in and they see information, whether that's, you determine what that is. Is it an ordering module that they need? Is it a sales materials, communication materials, marketing materials? Is it to be able to see inventory, to buy parts, to submit claims, to warranty register things? Partner vendor portals, dealer portals, all those types of customer portals, support portals that can be key things to keep your business going online when you can't meet physically or have people come in and out, but to create efficiencies there. And then kind of related to the customer portal is then how are you going to handle customer care and customer support? So maybe you need to add some other features so that somebody can't just pop into your store. But maybe you will need to add website chat so that there's more real-time chat on there. Maybe you need to add a website support area to your website, specifically have a contact form for support. And again, offer tools for post-purchase, which might be registrations, events, warranties, all those types of items, and keeping those pieces going. So and then finally, let's kind of move it to social media. Social media has been huge in this work from home environment. People spending enormous amounts of time on social media, and therefore it's a great way for your business to get information out. You might need to get information out about updates, things that are happening, webinars that are coming up, and ways that people can stay in touch with you, how they can reach you, all those types of things. You can use social media to stay in touch with them. You can do live video like this. You can do recorded video to give people information, to talk about products, talk about whatever is helpful to enable the business process to continue moving forward. You can use social media to help enhance that. You can run social ads to reach the right type of clients and audience that need to be aware of you. So consider using social media, consider live updates, and also then thinking through your weekly agenda, how you want to use the scheduling tools that they offer to be able to post some things out. But particularly think about ways you can incorporate photos and particularly videos in that. Finally, maybe work from home is new and different for you. So three tips to avoid burnout from working at home. And they come from a Harvard Business Review article. I'll put a link in the blog post about that. But you got to maintain some physical and social boundaries, number one. You need to find some work routines so that, you know, there's a starting point where you're starting work and there's a stopping point where you're stopping work. And you know, maybe for you, it used to be getting in the car, going and, you know, leaving work, physically driving home, and that was doing it. So now maybe it's, you know, the act of, you know, putting on your business attire so that you're in work mode. And then at the end of the day, taking that off so you're out of work mode, you know, finding those boundaries and holding to those, okay? You know, I think you can blur the lines and you just kind of keep going because you're at your computer and there's no stopping point. But learning to stop, setting alarm. Hey, it's lunch. I need to eat, you know, those types of things. Second thing, you maintain your temporary boundaries. So maybe you got people at home that need your attention, those type of things. You need to do some educational oversight from kids working on their e-school, you know, type pieces. And so identifying what those needs are with your team at work and saying, you know, hey, from 9 to 10, I'm not going to be available because I need to get my kids started on this. And my hours are going to be adjusted. I'm going to be working, you know, I'll be available, you know, after that for these pieces. So that's a temporary work boundary, you know, that you need for this time period. So being clear about what those pieces are. And then finally, focusing on your most important work. I mean, it's what's going to help your business survive and thrive in this time period. You know, this isn't necessarily time to be working on peripheral things or kind of have a meandering focus, but you know, hone in on what is your most important business processes that if business needs to keep going, thriving in this time period, focus on accomplishing those big bucket items first. All right. So that is an overview of a lot of business processes and ways that you can take them online and the tools that can be involved to help you with that. Hopefully that's helpful. You can go and check out the blog post to review any of those. I got links to more details on the different tools mentioned here. Hopefully that gives you the ideas that you need. Now you need to take a look at them, research them, and take some action on those so that you can keep your business going and it's fluid and has access from wherever you are. All right. This is Mike. Thanks for being with me today. Take care. Alrighty, thanks for listening to this episode of the Halftime Mike Podcast. Remember, what you do in the second half can change the outcome of the game for your business. What's the next step you need to take today to act? Does your business need website software tools or social media help? Come on over and visit me at MikeGingrich.com. I'm also available if you want me to speak at your next event. Visit MikeGingrich.com/speaking to learn more. Join me again for another episode of the Halftime Mike Podcast because I am your no-nonsense guy, adding value to you to help you win the game in the second half.